Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
How can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids?
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What are the Falcons going to do? We're a couple of days away from the NFL draft, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. And we'll continue to talk about it. There was a big trade today between the Chiefs and the Seahawks. The Chiefs decide that they want to make a move and go get a piece to add to their defense, and they trade to go get defensive end Frank Clark, Mike, from the Seahawks. But, man, did they give up too much when you talk about this deal.
Yeah, swapping first-rounders, swapping a second-rounder for next year's draft, right? Or actually getting a second-rounder from next year's draft, and then swapping third-rounders as well from this year. So if you're Seattle, you're feeling pretty good about it. And then Kansas City, as part of the deal, they had to agree to a $105 million contract extension. So a guy who's had consistent double-digit sacks, 14 last year. You know, one of those guys we talked about, we mentioned bring him in here if we were going to move on from Vic Beasley, but that's the ask. I mean, but here's a guy who's been more consistent than Vic over the last 3 years, as opposed to Vic, obviously, who spikes on 2016 with that 15.5 sack season.
Yeah, so it makes you wonder. And by the way, I think there were about 20 moves. It could be one or two off. 20 to 22 moves. And when you talk about the totality of trades and moves around the first round last year, there are always deals, some of them significant. Most of them not. And a lot of times teams are just trying to either add picks or get out of picks and move back. And so there are moves. But, you know, it brings us to the question we've been talking about and something that is rumored to be out there with our Falcons. And we'll get to the Georgia report here in just a second and talk some dogs and some things that Greg Sankey had to say about the playoffs. But, Mike, will we do something significant? And every year we turn the page and we go, all right, you know, we hadn't done that kind of move since Julio Jones, where you give up multiple picks, you target one guy that you feel like is a game changer, and Julio's been that, and you basically blow the rest of your draft because that's what you're doing when you make these kind of moves.
And remember, guys, we did also move up. It was a trade with the then St. Louis Rams because Les Snead, of course, worked with Thomas Dimitroff here with the Falcons. Remember, we moved up 8 spots to get Desmond Trufant.
True.
Back in 13. Then second round, we went and got Robert Alford to go address what we thought was going to be the secondary for many, many years. They both got contract extensions. One guy's not here anymore, and one guy, you know, is exactly lighting up the world in Desmond Trufant. But that's the way we thought we'd maybe get it done. Now, here's the thing. Is the defensive back argument, is that just a smokescreen? I mean, is that one of those where they're feeding this out there? Because our listeners don't want a corner. They feel that we can get a corner at some point in the draft and develop him through, you know, or maybe even try to find somebody when someone gets cut, which isn't the optimal way to do it this summer for more depth. But it's really Brian Oliver's chance to – Isaiah Oliver, I should say, his chance to go show he can do the job.
I'm under the impression, and I've said this, I'll say it on Thursday, there may be one corner taken in the first round. And I know that sounds crazy. If this is not a strong corner draft, okay, and there are multiple boards that are up there at Flowery Branch, one of them has the guys they absolutely love, one of them has the strengths of this draft, one of them has the needs of other teams – you're looking at all this information. And, Mike, if this is not the draft where you go, man, there are game-changing corners, why would you take one in the first round? Value, value, value.
Right.
If I can get a guy in the third round who can help my football team, but I'm not spending a first-round pick on him. And, again, these picks are slotted, right? So we know exactly what guys are getting from a salary standpoint now in the NFL. You're a first-round pick, you're going to get the option of that fifth year, and teams will have the option to pick that up, and most teams do if you're a stud. But with that said, I don't do it. I don't pick a corner in the first round. If we're going to go corner, I go third round or beyond, simply because everyone I've talked to has said, yes, you got a couple of guys, and I know you know Greedy Williams and DeAndre right. Baker and, you know, the kid out of Houston. Isaiah Johnson is another guy, but he's not a first-round pick.
But that's again, if you want to do it in the second round, that's fine. But I still think defensive tackle. What do you got right now? You addressed offensive line again. Okay, it's temporary with the free agents you plugged in. Hopefully they last 2 years. But, I mean, you've addressed your needs. Sombrello is still a big question mark at right tackle for me.
Yeah.
I don't trust them, but they do. But on paper, you've addressed those needs. What do you need? The glaring big hole in the middle is a defensive tackle, you know, big-time defensive tackle. Everything else, yes, you need another – you need depth at corner. You need depth at safety. Hell, you could argue you need depth at linebacker. That's something we haven't even talked about. If you want to talk about best athlete available,
yeah.
If somebody runs up and all the plans you had made are off the window by the time you get to pick at 14.
Listen, if you can get a difference maker, and that's the term I will use, okay, then it throws your whole draft board off the charts. They felt like this with Calvin Ridley, again, last year. Am I going to go with my need? We didn't need Calvin Ridley, but he was a difference maker, and you saw it. 10 touchdowns in his rookie season. So that is what changes the whole conversation is, okay, we got these needs, and we may go here. But if we get that guy that makes a difference like that to our team, then we got to roll the dice, man. And that's what I think, you know, could potentially happen this year, especially with these quarterbacks. I'm getting crazy thoughts about these quarterbacks that we're going to have more than the three we are projecting. And if that happens, it's going to leave a lot of guys out there when we roll the dice at 14.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Daniel Jeremiah is saying that, you know, whether or not guys are all dragging their feet, and again, whatever phrase you want to use, sandbagging, you know, when it comes to the quarterbacks, you know, whether or Kyler Murray is certainly going to be the lock for Arizona. And they're look, remember, guys, it's all misinformation. It's a giant chess. This is Game of Thrones, okay? This is everybody throwing shade. This is everybody saying they're going to do one thing, like the Lannisters, Carl, and then not doing the other. Remember, Cersei promised an army. It's been 2 days, right? We can talk about Sunday's episode.
Yeah, you absolutely can.
But I mean, this is what you get this week. There's teams that are throwing stuff out there. Teams are leaking.
Cersei lied again? No.
Who's going to kill her, by the way? And is it going to be?
I have my theories.
I think we all do. But anyway, guys, the idea that you're saying one thing, you're going to do another, it happens all the time. Maybe we really do want to lock on defensive tackle, but we're throwing stuff out there about defensive back because the media does play it out. And one thing for certain, we brought this up earlier, Carl, just because guys are in the big jobs in the NFL doesn't mean that they're all that smart because guys like that get fired all the time and they misread the signals.
Yeah, I have greedy Byron Murphy, who's the Washington kid at corner. Obviously, DeAndre Baker. I actually think Baker's going to be a second-round pick. Call me crazy.
Well, then you can go get him.
Call me crazy.
Then if you want to forfeit, remember, guys, we had two extra picks this year.
Yeah.
If you want to package something in the second round to go do that, that's fine by me.
But, Mike, the deal is these guys, you know, they are projected, and you start grading guys out, all right? And I don't do this. This is not what we do professionally. But there are guys who basically grade them out based on their tape, all their stats, metrics, blah, blah, blah. And they say, okay, he is the 29th best player in this draft. Okay? Nick Bosa, by that example, best player in the draft based on all that other stuff that we're talking about. And the corners in this draft are not top five. It's all edge rushers, okay, for the most part. It's a couple of offensive tackles because you got to protect your quarterback's blind side. And it's quarterbacks. When you start looking at the DBs, you go, all right, well, who is it? I mean, a linebacker in Devin White, who Bo's been talking about, is maybe the fourth or fifth best player in this draft. So it's not corner. There are years where you have corners in the top five, and you go, right, these guys are difference makers.
The shutdown guy. Look, and I get reasons why general managers want to build from the back to front if you've got, you know, one of the elites, you know, if you've got a Patrick Peterson, if you got a Deion Sanders, if you got those kind of players. You know, if you have an Aqib Talib, you know, you can throw back there and he's going to give you a ton of interceptions and be a playmaker. The guys we went with really didn't do that. The high watermark for Rocky Alford was the pick six against Tom Brady, and it was all downhill after that. Trufant didn't even play in the playoffs that year or the Super Bowl.
Best players in this draft, edge, DL, lineman. Edge, DL, linebacker, O-lineman, tackle. Quarterback, edge, D-line. That's your top 10.
Yeah, I mean, can we just make it simple and go get Christian Wilkins from Clemson at 14? We don't have to trade up or anything and lose a piece.
Well,
I think he's
going to be there.
But another thing is, if you want to, you know, get the things we just laid out all these scenarios for you. Unless Dan Quinn feels, and again, I would agree with Dan Quinn. I would not yell at anybody at the Falcons if we forfeited all these picks and traded up and grabbed Quinn and Williams. You'll get Quinn Williams from Alabama, who's projected to be with the Jets, and the Jets are looking to trade out of three.
Emmanuel says, Dukes and Bell, if the draft is strong at D-line, then why do I have to take one in the first? And this is the other thing.
Well, there's the upper tier. And then remember, we were supposed to do that last year, but we couldn't avoid Isaiah Oliver, and we wound up with Deidrin Sinat when a number of big-time D-tackles went second round.
He says, if cornerback is weak, then why not take a corner and get the best corner in the first and make the same choice to go get a defensive tackle later if this draft is that deep. Maybe that's how Quinn is thinking about this. We've said it. So, no, I don't think, to answer your question, Mike Bell, that the smokescreen is corner. I do think it's a position of need for depth purposes and for developmental. You know, we can say True's going to be here for 3 or 4 more years. I don't know that. If I would have told you Rocky was going to be here in 3 years ago,
right.
I don't know that. I just think corners for me are like a bullpen in pitching in baseball. You can never have enough of these guys with the way the league is going now.
Hey, United fans, we're going to talk to Darren Eales, guys, coming up a little bit after 4:20. We pushed him back today an hour later, so get your United fix coming up for this week. That's on the way. But we were talking about the Dogs and the G-Day game, and, you know, a guy that who's making the transition to the NFL, a lot of Falcon fans been asking us on social media, yeah, I'd take a flyer on Mecole Hardman. I know we did go pick up a returns guy, but not for a lot of money, by the way. So if that's something that interests you, I mean, a real explosive playmaker for punts, because kickoffs are negligible these days in the NFL. Is that interesting you? I'd like to get Mecole Hardman in here if he was out there later.
No, listen, if you can find a young guy that can return kicks for you at this point, you're not going to go spend money on that position anymore. Teams just don't do it. You know, the last
and
guy.
And he could also be, he'd be another receiver.
Yeah. But the last guy that we did that with, and we'll never do it again, is Devin Hester. But obviously before that, you were trying to find guys that were you know, could do that well and change the field position for you. I agree with you. I mean, I'd rather find a young guy who could do it. But, yeah, Mecole Hardman's got the speed to do it. And some people think he was underutilized at Georgia, Mike. You know, some people say they should have used him more for what he's got to offer. I'm curious to see what he's going to do in the NFL.
We did pick up 28-year-old. He'll be 29 next week. Kenyon Barner.
He's fast.
That's all. He also got blown up by Shabby. But not by Shabby, by
Bosher.
Punter, Matt Bosher. But, yeah, you could always make room for a guy like Elijah Holyfield, I should say, later in the draft. We talked yesterday with Daniel Jeremiah. He says Benny Snell didn't really impress at the combine. So there's another guy. Again, not knowing for sure what you're going to get from Devontae Freeman. That's another area you might want to address.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. As we get into the Dog Report, and as Mike mentioned, Darren Eales on the way. Yeah, man, no man as well. More Falcon conversation coming up at 5. Stay right there. Let's talk some dogs.
At Bell on the sidelines with the Dogs.
So we had a chance to visit with Marty Smith yesterday from ESPN, guys. I want you to hear what he had to say about the Dogs, the program, and Kirby Smart. He's been around the program a lot, done a lot of special features for ESPN and whatnot. But Marty was on the field for G-Day as part of the officiating crew, talked about that experience, and then we got into some other stuff. But here's what he said about Georgia.
In your market, the folks that are listening, forgive me for reminding you, because I know that for Georgia Bulldog fans, those are gutting losses. But I also know this. Dog fans are thrilled to be this relevant. They're thrilled that they are always in the conversation, not just among the conference elite, but among the national elite.
I would agree. And, you know, this is the thing. We've talked about it. If you are to go on any major city street corner and pull a guy aside and go, Georgia football. Over the last few years, it's been relevant enough that I'm willing to bet they know something about it. They probably know a Nick Chubb or Sony Michelle, or they're willing to say something about what's been going on. Mm-hmm. You want to be in the social consciousness, Mike, of college football, especially around the country. And I think, to Marty's point, that's what's going on with the Dogs. Now, you still got to go win it. You still got to, at some point, get past Alabama, if that's the nemesis. You got to win the SEC, and you got to win in the college football playoff, which, listen, they had their opportunities. But you can't just keep getting there every year, and I know it's great to get there, but you gotta kick that door in at some point.
Well, that's just it. You've done everything but beat Alabama. Alabama, you know, it's Red Sox and Yankees. I mean, that's the team which is in the way, and you had them on the ropes, and you couldn't finish. I don't have to tell you guys, you know that. But, yeah, you're right. You're in that mix. All you got to do is make it, you know, make the big game happen, the SEC championship. If you win the East, you know, you got a great shot. And, hey, Alabama shows you don't have to win the division sometimes. You only had one loss by strength of schedule. You can still get in there. I still think Florida, a lot of people are sleeping on them. You know, we saw in the G-Day game, you got a lot of running backs, even though we didn't get to see Zeus, Samir White. How about a guy we hadn't mentioned much, Dalvin Cook's younger brother, James Cook, and a great athlete that he is and all the versatile things he can do, not to mention DeAndre Swift, Harrion. James Coley's going to have a lot of chances to run the ball, and you saw them throwing the ball more. They always throw the ball more at G-Day because they're trying to see who can be the wide receiver. Landers, those guys. You know, someone's going to emerge along with Holloman, and certainly for Demetrius Robinson, it's your chance to shine. I don't think – I'm not sweating wide receivers the way some people are. But,
yeah.
You know, and you also got Mookie Blaylock's kid. They got a bunch of guys coming in younger, but I think they're okay.
I do, too. I'm kind of with you on this. And the game plan was very generic. It always is in these spring games, so you don't expect to see a whole lot. They had a double reverse for a touchdown to Mathis, and everybody's right. It's just a fun play, you know. But again, now teams see that, and they know that that's possible. So when you see them in the game, you've got to prepare for it. But – Yeah, Mike, I'm kind of with you on this. The running back position is sewed up. It doesn't matter to me who you're throwing out there. D. Swift, and then go from there. Harrien's still very good to me. I think he's underrated. But I want to see what Zeus has got.
Right. Unfortunately, we had to wait because of the knee issue, and they had him on. Obviously, they weren't going to use. Although he has been impressive, apparently in practice, according to people had a or in the know. But you didn't get to see him in the G Day game.
It is Dukes and Bell Dogs Report, and on the sidelines with the dogs, brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Brightbox Electrical Man, 770-901-2500, 770-901-2500. Get a man cave so you can watch all your favorite sports, why don't you?
Greg Sankey, real quick, is still supporting a four-team playoff. He is the SEC commissioner, and on whether he favors the college football playoff to expand, quote, no, I think four works. Okay. Thanks, Greg.
Well, again, when you're putting two in every year practically, I think you got a good plan, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's the Big Ten needs it to be six because they don't always get in. SEC is always in.
Yeah, I think Greg Sankey's in a good spot. Along with the ACC, the SEC is the only conference to go 5-for-5 in placing teams in the field. So you're right. As long as you're not being left out, and we've said this, with the strength of schedule in the SEC, it doesn't matter if it's Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, Alabama, LSU, it could be A&M. They're not going to get left out.
Now, Michigan is supposed to battle with Ohio State. Ryan Day, first year as a head coach. Justin Fields. Anyway, he gets a chance to start for the Buckeyes. So here's your two teams. Whoever wins that game is supposed to be the one, right?
Right.
Just don't slip up against Iowa. Don't have those usual trip-ups.
Hey, coming up, what in the hell is going on with Atlanta United? Darren Eales, we hope that he has answers. The president of Atlanta United joins us next.
It's time for the Darren Eales Report, presented by Aaron's.
For those who don't know, we get a chance to talk to Darren Eales every week, our president of Atlanta United. His former team is Tottenham.
Yes.
Your former team, Ajax. Yeah. Those two teams are playing. You guys got a little side bet going on right now?
No, yeah. Probably when I see him, we're going to talk about it, of course. But he wasn't not in the building in our training ground, so maybe he's afraid. I don't know. But I think if I was there, I should be afraid.
Well, we're about to find out if they've
big
got
talk from the Dutchman
side bet going on. It is Dukes and Bell, and Darren Eales is presented by Aaron's, perfect for your budget and style with top name brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Do you guys have a side bet going on? Welcome in, Darren. That, of course, was Frank DeBoer. He came in studio with us last week, and I asked him about, did you guys have a little something going on there?
Yeah, afternoon, guys. Yeah, and I'm not afraid at all. So bring it on. I figure I'm happy if I act when I wear a pair of clogs for the day, and we can have stampot or whatever rubbish they eat in Holland at the cafeteria. And if Spurs win, we'll have fish and chips, and he'll have to wear a pair of Spurs slippers for the day.
Yeah, they put mayonnaise. Well, the Dutch do it in the Netherlands. They do. I mean, in Belgium, I should say, they do that as well. But it's not bad, Carl, when the mayonnaise is freshly whipped.
I would agree.
Darren, we lost 2-1. Unfortunately, the early goal just really put us behind the eight ball. Then, as we've seen other teams do, Dallas FC kind of parked the bus. What was your take on the match?
Yeah, I mean, look, that was a good synopsis right there, Mike. It was, disappointing, obviously, the result. But it was one of those games, no different, I think, from we'd had in the previous two seasons where we were attacking, we were creating chances, we just couldn't get the goal to drop. Whether it was, Barco hitting the post and the bar, he had a tremendous free kick where he hit the bar, or it was, just the keeper having a really great game. He had one save from Joseph where he just got down really low and turned it around the post. So, that was frustrating. And you saw it, we were chasing that second goal. Leandro goes and makes a run down the right because we're trying to throw things forward, and then we get caught on the break. So the result was disappointing, but from a performance perspective and creating chances, that was certainly positive. And again, amazing fans, another sellout from our crowd. So it's obviously disappointing because we're in a results industry, but the game of soccer, probably even more than other sports, you can have games like that where it just doesn't go your way. We've had it in the previous two seasons, but we've got to bounce back now this weekend and a big game against Colorado.
It is Darren Eales joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Darren, I described it to, the average fringe fan who maybe doesn't go to all the games or watch all the games. I said it would be like Julio Jones having a 150-yard game for the Falcons and the Falcons not scoring, And I think that correlation for us, we were, no doubt, the most dangerous we've been all year. But, the result is what it's about. So what do you preach this week? And I say you. I'm talking about Frank DeBoer. What does the staff say to the guys to know and to continue to give them confidence, because we continue to have these building blocks that Mike and I continue to talk about, like, okay, that looked better. We feel better about that, but the result is still not there.
Yeah, look, and I think a little bit of it is, you know, it's one of those things you've just got to, taking your chances. It's funny, in some ways you can't really work on it. You've just got to create situations, and, there'll be a time. Joseph's a great example. You know, Joseph, still showed his finishing prowess in taking the penalty, but the ball that Pity Martinez put through to him, 9 times out of 10, Joseph scores that. And it was just one of those days where he just puts it slightly past the post. And, we know Joseph's a great finisher, so it's just about trying to get back in that groove. And, if we get that first goal, we've known this, it's no secret in soccer. It's the same the world over. You get that first goal, all of a sudden teams have to come and attack you, and that's when we're at our most dangerous. So we've got to try and focus on also eliminating those mistakes that we have that have given up some silly goals.
It is Darren Eales, guys, team president of Atlanta United. Again, pregame 5:30 on Saturday, as he mentioned, Colorado, and they are really struggling trying to put the ball in the net, coming to town to take on United, the game at 6. The defense, and we miss Garza, and of course, when you move Garza on, that was a financially sound move. We just didn't know that everybody else was going to get banged up on the back line. When Escobar, when Bello is healthy, do you feel that's going to also contribute to getting things going?
Absolutely. And look, yes, we moved Garza on, but Greg's been injured for the start of the season, so we wouldn't have had him either for the first 6 games of the season.
Right.
But we didn't think we were going to get so many in the same spot. So I do think, now with Franco back to 100%, with George Bello back in training this week, which is great to see, that does obviously give us more options, because they're the type of players, they're the type of fullbacks that do like to get forward, young with energy, and that suits our game. So the more choices we have, the better it is. But every team gets injuries, so we have to deal with that.
Darren, this may be unfair, but I want to present it to you, because as the fan base has talked to Mike and I on the program, and we're out and about and at matches, how much of this do you put on Frank DeBoer? And when I ask the question, I'm not saying, is he in trouble? What I'm saying is, the progress, are you happy with it? And then more importantly, when you have losses like this, how much of it falls on the manager to the performance itself?
Yeah, look, I think the first thing is, none of us are happy in terms of the results. But I think, the reality is, in soccer, no different from any sport, you can't assume you're going to win every game. So I think, whatever happened, we were coming as defending title, the defending champions, and everyone wants to take us down a peg or two. We've spoken about this in Miguel Almiron. We lost a unique player, a very talented player, but he's unique in his skill set. So there's always going to be a transition period. And I think, we've seen with Pity Martinez, just the little pass that he gave to Joseph in the game on the weekend was a great piece of skill, but he's someone that we spoke about has come off a long season, that was injured on international duty, that's still gelling with the team. So I think all of those factors are going to be reality. And any time you change staff, you're going to have a transition period. So I think, that was always to be expected. I think the key thing now, and I think that the positive signs, is you take the New England game, you take Dallas. Yes, we lost to Dallas, but in terms of creating chances and in terms of the way that we're playing, that's been exciting to see, and that's exactly what we want from Atlanta United teams. So I think that's, that's a positive for us going forward. And, we said this before, we had Champions League that we've never had before. So there's a lot of differences that has made this season challenging to start with. But, the good news for us is we've only had 6 matches. There's still, vast, vast majority of the season to go.
It is Darren Eales with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline, talking about Atlanta United as we hopefully we're going to – and again, we just want to get – the style makes the fight, Darren, for the casual fan. We want to see a lot of action, and hopefully it'll be the case against Colorado. What about these rumors? Now, again, a lot of these are always unsubstantiated, but it is out there, and people ask us to ask you. Is Darlington Nagbe happy? Because I think Matthew Doyle at MLS.com was writing there was some interest in maybe moving Nagbe.
Yeah, look, there is no interest in moving Darlington. Darlington's been playing great for us, and he's one of our top performers. It's really strange, isn't it? We're in a modern media era now where, people can just speculate without any sort of basis to that, and people start talking. And we're used to that. We get it on all the things from, players that are interested in signing for us through to, potential trades during the season. And it's a good thing that people are talking about MLS and talking about Atlanta United, but there's nothing doing there.
Gotcha.
Darren Eales, our guest, guys. He joins us on a weekly basis to talk about Atlanta United. As we move forward, you talked about now Colorado this weekend. you know, they come in. They're not good. But that doesn't mean anything, right? I mean, we've seen this where we just expect to win, and we can't do that. We've got to go in and handle our business. What concerns you about the Rapids?
Yeah, look, you're absolutely right. I mean, my first concern with them is they've got, you know, everything to play for in the sense that they've had a poor start, and they're going to be, you know, really focused on sort of stemming the flow and trying to turn things around. So, you know, in that sense, they're a dangerous opponent. And, you know, MLS is a league unlike most leagues in the world. But, you know, there really is parity. We're seeing that with the New York Red Bulls, you know, the team that tipped us to the supporter shield, you know, the most points in the history of the league. And they're, you know, struggling this year as well to get points. So we know it's a tough league. And if you don't turn up with 100% attitude, you're going to get beaten. So, you know, it's really important for us that, you know, we turn up 100% to play. You know, our fans are there, which have been, you know, unbelievable right from the very start. But, you know, that's the advantage we have at home with our amazing fan base getting behind us. You know, that, I think, is going to give us that lift that we need to get out there and hopefully, you know, get that win that we all want.
It is Darren Hills with us, guys. And that's the thing, Darren, we've talked about it all, you know, season long, because obviously it's not the way we expected the season to go, but we're just so used to this team just being one of the best and just being so fun to watch. And I think, in fairness to Frank DeBoer, you know, LGP and guys, we've had defensive lapses when Tata was here. We've given up soft goals, but we always seem to bounce back. Is it just simply a matter of inches because we missed some passes early and now we're just missing goals by inches?
Yeah, and look, I mean, I don't want to sort of there's a danger of overanalyzing, and, you know, that's like we said about soccer, you know, you sort of get the result and then everybody sort of reads from that. But, you know, the game we had on the weekend was no different from games we've had in the first two seasons. And, you know, Barco's shot hits the post and goes in, and right. It's a totally different game, and we win it 4-1, and we would not be, you know, that wouldn't change anything about how we're playing or the way that the team's been put together. This is the game of soccer. Sometimes you can have that frustration of 22 shots and find yourself on the losing team. But I think the important thing is that we have that attitude, and we have to go into the Colorado game with an attitude that we need a, you know, 100% effort. We're not going to just get given. They're not going to roll over for us. I think that'll be the focus this week from the lads and from Frank and the coaching staff. So let's work off, you know, the good work that we've shown in the last two games in terms of creating chances, in terms of trying to be attacking and getting forward, and can continue to do that. Because as long as we do that in each game, we're going to win more than we lose. We're going to be in the playoffs, and we're going to be there battling again, you know, for the MLS Cup. As long as we keep performing like that, the results will take care of themselves.
Because nobody's running away with the East. That's one of the caveats, you know, we talk about. What's the most wins in the Eastern Conference? 4 wins right now.
Yeah. No, it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, if you look at it, it's really tight. And, you know, again, it's a little bit disproportionate because we haven't played as many games. There's a group of teams playing midweek. We're not playing midweek this week. So there's that sense as well of perhaps the picture being painted worse than it is because we've got those games in hand.
Darren, thank you so much for joining us. Darren is brought to you by Aaron's Guys, perfect for your budget and style with top name brands and furniture, electronics, and appliances. We will talk to you soon, Darren. Thanks again.
Cheers, guys. Thanks very much.
You got it. We'll see you Saturday, man, down at Mercedes-Benz. You know, it's the theme we've been talking about. I know that, you know, people just want to see us get back to being that old team. I don't know if we're ever going to be like we were last year in 18, but I still think there's things we can do to get this team back to where we need to be, which is the playoffs.
You know what? And I'm going to say this, we've had a couple of magical seasons in our city. Atlanta United last year was magical.
Right.
And they finished. Our football team had a magical season in 16, and we didn't. That you got to take advantage of those magical seasons because right. They don't happen every year.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment, and sometimes a surprise question. Here's today's question number one.
Braves expecting Mike Foltynewicz back this weekend. We'll talk more about that coming up in a myriad of NFL stories. We've got to get to at 5:20, Mike, as part of our strong-arm story of the day.
Yeah, man, we got knuckleheads acting like knuckleheads, and the season hasn't even started yet.
Hey, guys, a reminder, 92.9 The Game and Relay for Life need your help. You can play a huge part by helping us raise funds for the American Cancer Society to help cancer patients and survivors all across the country. All you need to do is go to relayforlife.org/join and look for the Game Changers team name and then register for our team at Relay for Life event. It's going to be on Friday, May 3rd in Marietta at Jim Miller Park. Bo Morgan is here. It's Yeah Man, No Man. Falcon Report's on the way. Boy, we got some good stuff to get into in regards to the draft and a guy that is on the Falcons draft board. We'll tell you who. But right now, Bo, what you got working?
Okay, guys, so Donovan McNabb went on the Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio last weekend, and they were talking about what Carson Wentz needs to do the next couple years.
Right.
And Donovan said this.
I'm thinking the next two years or so, he has to find a way to get in the second round or out of the second round of the playoffs. You know, for what Nick Foles was able to do, take him to a Super Bowl and then possibly take him back to the NFC Championship proves that, you know, hey, some people can get into that offense and be very successful. You know, he hasn't been healthy. He hasn't really proven to me, besides the year before he got hurt in his first year, of really the MVP candidate. He needs to get back to that mold.
And he's right.
Seems fair, right?
I saw people going at Hugh about this morning on social media. I mean, you know, they got a fifth-year option they got to pick up, you know, another $26 million deal. He's got to earn that, doesn't he, Carl? I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, different, totally different set of circumstances, because his is more about injury than off-field, but similar to what Tampa Bay had to think about with Jameis if he doesn't go deep in the playoffs this year.
Absolutely. Listen, and you know, just because you were on the team doesn't mean that you deserve that big check. Foles was the guy leading the way. Now he's in Jacksonville.
But here's the thing, though. He had that team as a number one seed when he blew his knee out, going for the end zone against the Rams in the L.A. Coliseum. And again, it's just one of those woulda, coulda, shoulda. Could he have done the same thing that Foles did?
Well, and that's the big question mark. So I agree with Donovan McNabb. For me, this is a simple yeah, man. It's not even that McNabb's taking shots. We forget McNabb went to four NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl while he was there. He has the credibility to say, this is what I think the dude should be doing in the next couple of years.
And if you don't like McNabb, he's not taking a shot at Foles, who did what he couldn't do. He's talking about Wentz. I got no problem with it.
Well, and Wentz wasn't great last year. And I think that it would have been okay, but Lane Johnson is the one that really got everything fired up. Now, he's obviously Wentz's teammate, offensive line. He took some shots at Donovan, and this is what he said.
Every training camp, we have all these ex-players come, you know, shake our hands, wish us good luck. And then they'll go out and just talk hate. I feel like there's a lot of envy, you know, just jealousy. And just I see a lot of fakery. And, you know, not just me. You know, a lot of other teammates see it too. And you would think, you know, the best quarterback in franchise history would try to, you know, build up a young man that looks up to him instead of always, you know, criticizing him, critiquing him, you know, wishing he would fail so, you know, he could be the missing link and feel better about himself. That's what I don't like.
Hmm. Well, there's some truth to what Lane had to say, because Donovan does like to throw some stuff out there, and he was a guy, and, you know, you can speak more to this. People thought he was too close to Jeffrey Lurie, and T.O. was in one camp, and Donovan, some guys were in another camp on that team.
Yeah, hate? That's strong.
It's analysis. He just said this guy's a first overall pick. The other dude did all the heavy lifting and won the big games. Now he's got to do it. I don't think that's mean-spirited.
I don't either. And that's the problem. I think we're all too sensitive when we talk about somebody saying something about somebody else. I don't think it's hate. I think that he's being critical of the performance of the quarterback.
Oh, man. Hate.
Like the guy. Doesn't mean that he doesn't like Carson Wentz because he said something bad about him.
It wouldn't even say something bad. He's got to go do likewise. He's got to go deep in the playoffs. He didn't say he's going to win the Super Bowl.
No, but in this day and age, Mike, that's saying something bad. You've criticized our quarterback, man. It's so sensitive.
On the positive side, there's guys in the offensive line room that got his back, if that means anything to Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Apparently, you can't do your job now because Donovan McNabb is kind of an analyst these days. Not a very good one, but he's right there.
Quit throwing shade.
Yeah, that's what he's paid to do. You're right.
That's what I'm paid to do.
I don't know about that.
Question two.
Okay, so we're going to go to McDonald's and around the world. McDonald's has some menu items that have been out around the world, and now they're going to bring them to America. Now, maybe for a limited time basis, but I'm going to go over these.
Yeah, kangaroo nuggets. Let's get it on.
This is the way it's going to work. I'm going to name an item, and I just want to, you know, you can expound, but a yeah, man, no, man, if you would eat this item or if you think it's going to work. I'm going to start with the Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger, which is from Spain. That's a burger with a creamy bacon sauce, bacon, and Gouda.
Damn straight. Everyone loves Gouda.
Everyone loves bacon. You could never go wrong with bacon.
Matter of fact, I'll have to order one when you guys are at the big family work retreat when I'm in Spain, Carl, on my way to the racetrack to watch the Spanish Grand Prix.
I'll send you pictures of my two-level suite.
Dude, the hotel doesn't have two-level suites.
Yeah, that's what he told me, Mike.
I think the boss has lied to you.
That's what he said.
More on the corporate retreat coming up. Question continues.
Yes, sound more, gullible.
More McDonald's items from
Number
around
two,
the world.
A Stroopwafel waffle.
Real quick, you can put bacon on bacon and eat it. Okay, right. Go ahead. That's how good bacon is.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. A Stroop Waffle McFlurry's from the Netherlands. That's a McFlurry.
Stroop?
That's the word.
All right.
A McFlurry with caramel waffle cookies blended in plus caramel sauce.
Provided McDonald's has the ice cream machine working that day, Carl.
That's a good point, Mike. Every time I'm in line, it's never working.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Carl, you in or out?
No, man. Not on that one.
Cheesy bacon fries from Australia.
Done.
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 With a roasted koala bear on the side.
Done.
Leave it to our friends down under to do everything right. It's just cheese and bacon. I mean, you can't screw that up, right, with some french fries?
That's not a french fry. That's a french fry.
Thank you, Crocodile Dundee. Yes. And number four, the tomato mozzarella chicken sandwich from Canada. That's a breaded chicken breast with tomato, mozzarella, and a tomato and herb sauce.
Mm. Interesting.
I actually think that sounds really good.
That sounds pretty decent. Yeah, where's that from again?
Canada. Probably Montreal in the Italian neighborhood.
Okay.
Well, they do have one.
Okay, yeah, I'd probably go for that. Yeah, man, I'd go for that.
All right, that's it for that. So Nicolas Cage's wife of 4 days won't spousal support. The story goes a little something like this. He was married to Erica Koka, I believe is how you pronounce it, for four days before he asked for an annulment. All right, he claimed fraud, the fact that he didn't have the ability to recognize the full impact of his actions.
Reports say he was absolutely faced at Vegas, I guess, municipal court, wherever it was a civil service. And apparently he was half in the bag.
Well, Erica doesn't think that they needed an annulment. She says that she's cool with a divorce, but she wants spousal support. She claims that 12 days after Cage filed for the annulment, he asked her to start again, quote, in the right way. So as far as she's concerned, the marriage was legit. So I ask you, yeah, man, no, man, this was a legit marriage, and she deserves spousal support.
How can I put this? Hell no! Are you serious?
Well, according to the report I read in TMZ, so it's got to be true, that apparently he was the one pushing the wedding, and she was like, we don't have to do this. And apparently he was out of his mind on something. And then look what happened.
He did look like a cuckoo when I saw the pictures and the video of him walking around. By the way, talking about completely falling off, that's a guy that completely fell off. Now, with that said, did you ever see, was it 60 Seconds, Gone in 60 Seconds? Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's no Bangkok Dangerous.
But with that said,
man, his life is a disaster.
It's a total hell.
Dude won an Oscar for leaving Las Vegas.
It's a total
the guy
hell.
Had a career. And
he was trying to leave Las Vegas, all right.
Hot mess.
No, man, there's no way. Come on. I don't care who said the marriage, we should do it, we shouldn't do it. 4 days, and now you need support?
Yeah, get out of here. Nonsense.
I just think he was great in Con Air.
Put the bunny in the box.
Yeah, yeah.
And before we get out, today is National Cherry Cheesecake Day.
Hey, now.
Yeah, man, no, man. Cherry cheesecake.
Giddy up.
I like strawberry cheesecake. I don't necessarily dig the cherry.
Oh, get some cherry jubilee on top of that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
It's all right.
The cherry jubilee is good. Okay, good point. Good point.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say yeah, man.
All right.
You like cheesecake?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan, but I do from time to time.
Mom's secret ingredient was a little dab of sour cream in the cheesecake, amongst other things in there. But yeah, man, yeah. I like a little. Matter of fact, hey, Becky, if you're listening, cherry cheesecake?
How about this? Cheesecake Factory, if you're listening.
That menu's too big.
I know. That's why I like it.
I can drink 3 rounds of drinks just reading the menu.
I'm just talking about the cheesecake selection, by the way. And we get nothing for that. We just mentioned the fact that we like cheesecake from Cheesecake Factory. All right, Bo. Great job, man. Appreciate you.
That was your best hey, man, yeah, man, no, man in a long time. Okay. I'm trying to get positive reinforcement.
Falcon Reports coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.